happy about it. The cost of a gallon of regular gas is creeping expensively and disrespectfully close to $5 a gallon in the DMV. In other parts of the country, prices are well over $6 per gallon. And that's not all. Inflation is at a 40-year high with no signs of slowing. What is going on, and what can you do to blunt the sting of more money going out than you can afford? Well, my guests tonight are Deborah Owens, America's wealth coach, and sociologist Dr. Robert Brown, author of Economic Stress, Harsh Truths, and Keys to Empowerment. If you want to get in on this conversation, how do you feel about the gas prices? What are you doing to make things just a little bit easier on yourself during these tough economic times? I want to hear from you. Give us a call at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. I invite you to tweet me at HFisherWHUR or follow me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Deborah, how are you?
I'm doing well, Harold.
I'm glad to hear it, because so many of us are not right now. Dr. Brown, how are you?
I'm well. It's good to hear your voice.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you so much for joining the program. Go ahead, Deborah. You're already on it, but go ahead.
Well, no, you cracked me up with it. Just downright disrespectful.
It is. I mean, it is. It is disrespecting our bank accounts. It is, you know, disrespecting our plans for how we're going to feed our families and any plans that we may have had for the summer. A lot of people are really hurting, Deborah.
Yes, they are. And the truth is that so much of these inflationary pressures were already kind of baked into this economy just with COVID. I mean, the fact is we've seen prices, basic prices, food, and now gas, and a large part of that really is this Russia-Ukraine crisis. So I guess the question is, what are you going to do about?
Yeah, that, and hopefully both of you can give us a hand with this. Dr. Brown, let's start with some of the news of the day. Maryland Governor Larry Hogan promises to sign an emergency bill that gives a 30-day holiday for the state gas tax, essentially reducing the price of gas in the state of Maryland by 37 cents a gallon. Your thoughts about that? Good move, bad move? What does that possibly mean?
Well, I want to say good evening to Ms. Owens as well, but I think that any help that we get at this point will be a good thing, but we need something that's going to be far more long-lasting in terms of its effect. I think I can speak for a lot of people when I say that when I first saw that just glaringly high spike in gas prices, I thought I was hallucinating. And I said to myself, well, I'm going to close my eyes and I'm going to open my eyes again and it's going to be okay. And of course I did, and it wasn't. And so I think this is a time where, because we don't have control over in terms of what's going on in Russia and the war that it is waging with Ukraine, we are really the victim, if you will, in part at least, by the spike in gas prices. So I think that what the governor is doing is certainly helpful, but there needs to be a longer-term solution as well. The idea of gas prices spiking so quickly and so high, it's really something to see. And it is devastating for people who have already been struggling. And I think, too, we have to look at this in the context of COVID-19. We're still in the midst of this pandemic. And it is today that 2 years ago, the World Health Organization declared that SARS-CoV-2 or COVID-19 was, in fact, a pandemic. So we have to look at these economic issues in the context of this pandemic as well, I think.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about the price of gas, inflation, and you, what you can do about it. If you want to get in on the conversation, how is this impacting you? What are you trying to do about it to make sure that things are just a little bit easier on you and your family? I'd like to hear from you. Lines are open at 202-319-7810. So, Deborah, to the point about this emergency bill in Maryland. The first thing that I'm thinking about is there are no electric fences between Maryland and D.C. or southern Pennsylvania and Maryland or Delaware and Maryland. We have very porous borders. And so I'm just wondering, a whole lot of people who live near the border, particularly in the DMV, if you can save 37 cents a gallon, if you put $10, 10 gallons in, that's $3.70. That's almost another half gallon of gas. You know,
I'm just
wondering how it's going to affect Maryland.
Well, what I would say, though, is to Dr. Brown's point, is it is temporary. It's 30 days, right? 37 cents a gallon. And I think long term, what each of us as individuals are going to have to do is to change our behavior. So to that end, I think that what we will continue to see is that remote jobs are going to be more attractive. Right. And so particularly in many of the states, they have relaxed COVID rules. And now many companies are talking about people coming back into the office. So I think in that regard, many companies in order to retain employees are really going to have to look at this crisis and maybe postpone what would have been a reentry back into the workplace. I think, secondly, that crisis as it is right now, I think what we were already seeing was an acceleration of people purchasing hybrids and electric vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think what we will see there is that be accelerated. I know myself, I was just looking at cars, and then gas prices spiked, and I thought, wow, let me take a look at some of these hybrid vehicles. And so that the payback cost, meaning those hybrid vehicles cost more typically, but the payback cost because of the increase in gas prices is going to be much quicker. So I think that people need to start looking at that as an option. And then finally, I do think that behavior has to change or in order to reduce the kind your gas usage and all kinds of things, you know, but not just running errands willy-nilly, you know, really being thoughtful about when you get in that car and burn gas, that you're taking care of your car. I mean, it's just like anything that, that happens is we have to respond to the conditions around us. But I think also long term, what it is going to do is accelerate how people view hybrids and electric vehicles and now view them as an alternative option, not just from conservation or green, but, you know, the pocketbook usually speaks the loudest.
Indeed. Absolutely. Let me go to the phone lines. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about gas prices, inflation, and you. What can you do about it? David calling from Virginia. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
How you doing? I appreciate it.
Sure. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I was just, you know, it's kind of like our own
Just say it.
We're kind of doing it to ourselves. You know what I mean? We kind of shut down our own pipeline. This foreign oil deal is just it's putting a hurting on ourselves with all these overnight bills getting signed over. I think it's putting a hurting on us. You know, I think we should have our own oil supply ourselves. We should still have these other countries getting oil from us instead of us getting it from them. And then, you know, as far as the inflation and stuff, everything just takes, you know, it takes a toll on everybody. It's unfortunate. You know, people's already in bad situations, and this ain't the time.
Yeah.
This ain't the time for it.
David, thank you so much for your comment. Dr. Brown, David mentioned something about energy, being energy self-sufficient, America being energy self-sufficient, energy independent. Is that a catchphrase, or is that really possible?
I think it is possible to an extent, but it's a function of will. I think that because of our energy dependence on fossil fuels still, we have left ourselves exposed, and you see what can happen when things around the world change. And this is why living in a far more interdependent world has its positives, but also its negatives as well. But one of the things, too, I'd like to piggyback on something that Ms. Owen said in terms of individual behaviors. For those who own cars, there is, unfortunately, because of supply chain issues, the volume or the numbers of cars that are available, new and used, has actually gone down. So what that has done is it has increased the cost of car ownership. But some of the things that an individual can do right now is, to her point, is consolidate trips. Instead of making 5 trips a day, make 2 if possible. Another thing is you want to make sure that your vehicle is not a storage locker. What I mean is, if you have things in your back seat, if you have things in your trunk, that's causing the car to use more energy and use more fuel. So try to empty out your vehicle as much as you possibly can. The other thing is you want to ensure that your tires are properly inflated. So on the driver's side door, there's a little sticker that tells you what the correct tire inflation should be when your tires are cold. So it's things like that that can help to make the difference. It may not be drastic amounts of savings, but it will be something. And then the other thing, of course, is when you're driving, just slow down. Don't drive as fast. Don't brake as suddenly, and you'll find that your gas mileage will actually go up. Those are little things that a person can do right now to help address the issues. And in so doing, it helps make that person feel a bit more empowered, because this is such an overwhelming time. It's important to have people understand that they still have agency and the capacity to affect their lives in a positive way.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about the price of gas, inflation, and you. What can you do about it, if anything? Of course, as always, we take your phone calls even up until 8 o'clock tonight. So if you want to get in on this conversation, please do. We will be taking your phone calls until almost 8 o'clock. So here's the thing. The price of gas, even before the invasion of Ukraine, was going up. Why was that happening, Dr. Brown?
Well, when you look at the ways in which we depend on foreign oil, you know, the whole idea of speculation, this idea that, well, we think that because this is happening in this part of the world, a ripple effect is going to be this. And so people get nervous. And so as a result, we begin to see the prices of oil stocks begin to fluctuate. You know, it might be a few pennies here and there, but we see this general trend that is reaching skyward. And over time, when we have such a dramatic event, such as the invasion by Russia into Ukraine, that really caused this sort of cascade of doubt. And the result is that prices began to spike. If you happen to have owned any oil stock, you've had a good couple of weeks. But for the everyday person, they have been suffering mightily. And so it's really important to understand how not just what's going on here, but also what's going on abroad can affect the price of the pump, what we pay for groceries, what we pay for goods and services.
I need to take a break, but we will be back in just a bit as we continue this conversation about gas prices, the economy, and you, Pamela, calling from Maryland. We're going to talk to you next, so please do not hang up the phone. And don't forget, you can hear every edition of the Daily Drum Insight segment via podcast on WHUR.com. And don't forget to download the 96.3 HD2 app on your smartphone and hear the program live in its entirety. I'm Harold Fisher. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm. That's on WHUR. This discussion continues on Sirius XM in just a few seconds. Welcome back to the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We are talking about rising gas prices, rising inflation, and you. What can you do about it? My guests are Deborah Owens, America's Wealth Coach, and sociologist Dr. Robert Brown, author of Economic Stress, Harsh Truths, and Keys to Empowerment. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Let's go to Pamela, calling from Maryland. Hey, Pamela, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
This is one suggestion that you can do with your behavior, and I've been doing this for some years now. With the gas, my job, I do home visits, so I'm in my car every day. That is my job. And what I have found is if you try not to let your gas go less than half a tank, if you can keep it half a tank or more and then fill up at that point, I don't know, it may be psychological, but it just seems like, you know, I'm at a full tank of gas and I spent $20 or $25 as opposed to $40 or $50. So that might help, as well as some of the other suggestions that you made in terms of consolidating your trip. You know, when you go out, try to get everything done at that one run. So hopefully that can help.
I think,
what do you think about that? Your panel?
Yeah. Deborah, what do you think about that? I think it may be psychological, but but seriously, it's better to spend $30 twice a week than $60 once a week. It just makes you feel better, if nothing else.
I thought that was brilliant. Although I am one of those people that has a tendency to let the car light have to come on for me to get gas. But, you know, to that point, I really want to talk about money-saving ideas. And one of the other ideas, you know, membership clubs like Costco, BJ's, Sam's Club. There used to be a really huge a disparity between what you got at some pumps and those membership clubs, but they still have a tendency to be lower than what you can get at a local gas station. And it used to be that, you know, people would say, oh, well, I've got to pay a membership fee. But the payback on the membership fees now, I think with a couple of tanks of gas, you'll get your money back. So I really think people should consider that as well.
Deborah, let me ask you about this is yet another, I don't know, a psychological thing, but this has to do with how people are spending. And I'm going to hit you with a term that one of my guests shared with us earlier this year. And he talked about the wealth porn that you see. That's what he called it, wealth porn, that you see on social media, and where everyone's living their best life. And the impact on the psyche, particularly now, where you still see the wealth porn, but you are sitting at home just trying to figure out how to, you know, fill up your gas tank. What does that do to people? And Dr. Brown, I'd also like you to comment as well. But Deborah, go ahead.
Well, you know, here's the truth. The truth of that is that real wealth is quiet. You know, people with money are displaying their wealth. There's no need to. But I do think that the whole proliferation of social media and, you know, it's funny. I don't know if you've ever seen this meme where someone is taking a picture sitting on their Porsche and a person comes out and says, get out of my car. You know? So much of it is contrived is the point that I'm making, right? And so people, you know, yes, it could cause you to feel like you're missing out on something or your life is, you know, dim and compared to others. But the reality of it is so much on social media is not even real.
Dr. Brown.
Yeah, no, I agree. One of the worst things you can do is to see those images that are often false and try to associate the quality of your life and comparison to it. That's one of the worst things that anyone can do. And it's really important to understand that when you compare yourself to someone else, you take the good and the bad with that, no matter how much of the so-called good is being projected. So it's better to really not subject yourself to that, because what it does is it will worsen the negative feelings that you may be experiencing about your circumstances, about your person, about your family situation, and that doesn't do anything to help make you feel better. And so that's why it's really important to be able to, if you can't reach out to someone, a person who could be a mechanism of social support, and you are in a bad financial way because of the economy, because of increases in gas, food, clothing, utilities, take your pick, then what I would recommend is that for some of your viewers who may need this type of support, that they reach out to some of the area agencies that can help you. And I'd like to just list three, if you don't mind. The
sure.
first one is the Capital Area Asset Builders. The second is the Greater Washington Urban League. And the third is United Planning Organization. Now, each of these organizations are specifically focused on addressing financial hardships that people in the District of Columbia may be experiencing, or who may just need some financial counseling. So if you find yourself in a situation where the economic stress is at a point where you can no longer manage it, it might be a good time to communicate with some of the folks at these agencies who can offer some help and assistance.
Hmm. Deborah, let's go ahead and do what you do and have done for years when you've made appearances on this program. Let's deal with the down and dirty saving money pain. Let's talk about some of the real hard knocks that some people may have to resort to save money. What should people really start doing when they are just not sure when these inflationary prices are going to end, when gas is going to stabilize and again drop?
Well, what I would say is a couple of things, Harold, is that I think that really COVID changed a lot of behavior, especially as it relates to people like driving and entertainment and so many of the things that we used to do normally we're no longer doing. So I think the silver lining in COVID is that, or what I found in the Wealthy You community, is that people really realize that what they thought they needed, getting back to your point talking about wealth porn, they really don't need as much. And so I think that a couple of money-saving tips that I would say, certainly we've had a lot of suggestions on this program, but I want to really call people's attention. I just did an interview on my new show, Get Wealthy, and it was of a woman who was making a lot of money, and when she really started to track her spending, she found that she was spending a lot of money on nothing.
So what do you mean by that?
I think everyone could take a page out of that. And it's what I call doing a financial makeover and really looking at where your money is going and whether or not it's really serving you. And I would say even for people who are struggling, sometimes we feel like more money is going to solve the problem, when the fact is we need to be able to do more with what we already have.
You said that she discovered that she was spending a lot of money on nothing. Give me some examples.
Okay, so the number that she came up with after one month was $3,200. Now, mind you, she had a fairly high income. She was a physician. If anyone wants to see the actual program, they can go to wealthyyou.com and they can look at the different, get the links to the program.
Mm-hmm.
So the point is that subscriptions, eating out, you know, DoorDash, everything has become so, what do I want to say, convenient, so easy to do. Manicures, pedicures, hair, you know, Amazon coming to the door every day, went through 30, I mean, Spotify, Pandora, all, you know, you take these subscription services and you feel like, oh, it's just $8 a month. It's just $10 a month. After a while, it really adds up. And so one of the first things people can do is just go online, look at your bank statement, and look at all of those debits and withdrawals, and look at which of them are simply recurring expenses that you signed up for that you're really not using.
That sounds like a great idea. Your thoughts about that, you know, Dr. Brown, some of the other deep dives that people need to do to curtail their spending?
Well, I think for folk who may not earn as much as the position that Ms. Owens references, I think that one of the things that's really important, especially in times like these, is to be exposed to financial literacy training. And the idea, again, and these are provided by the three agencies that I mentioned a moment ago, but the idea behind financial literacy is that you become financially capable. So through the financial literacy training, you learn how to manage your money, no matter how large or small that amount may be. But more important than learning how to manage it, you put what you learn into action. So in other words, it becomes a behavior, which becomes a habit. And one of the examples that I often use is when you go into a store, the ideal scenario would be that when you purchase the item, you own it once you walk out of the store. But if you have to put that item on a credit card, for example, the better scenario would be to be able to pay that item off within the successive 30 days so you're not creating any debt. But obviously, for a lot of people in this time, that simply isn't possible. And so this is why turning to some of the counseling agencies in the District of Columbia may be a very useful alternative, because, again, when you find yourself in a situation where you simply don't have the ends to even feed your family on a daily basis, it can become overwhelming. The mental and emotional strain can become depleting, and that's when sometimes physiologically you begin to change. In other words, you may get sick or ill. So to prevent that from happening, it's important to be able to reach out to someone or an agency for help. And that's especially the case for some of the male viewers who may have difficulty saying, I need help with this. I don't have enough money. So it's important to know where the agencies and the help are so that you can get the services that you need.
I want to go back to the issue of the disruption of the supply chain, where we have been hearing, because of the pandemic, for more than a year, the impact that the supply chain has had on goods coming from overseas. And I'm not an economist, but I'm one who watches this process. Deborah, why haven't they figured this issue out? Why is this still a problem more than a year after it began? I mean, I know
because COVID, you know, no, Harold, the fact is COVID hasn't ended. I mean, we're just coming out of it is just what, within the last week or so that they've laxed rules. All of the disruption in the supply chain has remained, right? Finding workers, you know, people willing to work on the front lines in areas where they're going to be exposed to this disease. You know, I don't know about you, but I think that the trauma of COVID psychologically, even for those of us who maybe caught the disease like I did in December, like my husband did in December, there is a real reluctance to want to put yourself in that kind of jeopardy. And then to Dr. Brown's point, the people who are at the lower end and are the ones that are the workers who are in the service industry, none of that has changed. I mean, even globally. So part of the issue, the reason why the supply chain is still in the state that it is. I mean, you go in any grocery store, staples that you're accustomed to getting, oatmeal, you know, some cookies. I'm
speaking from experience, they just simply aren't there. Why is that? Because COVID is still causing uncertainty in the supply chain. And part of the, a large part of that is simply the people aspect of it.
Can I add something to that, Jim?
Absolutely.
One of the components here that in my opinion, is not discussed enough is the fact that this pandemic, in America at least, was politicized. If you recall, we were told by the leadership at the time that COVID-19 was a hoax, that it was going to magically disappear. And I said about a year and a half ago, whenever you politicize a public health crisis, people get sick and die who should not have gotten sick and who should not have died. And that is precisely what we have seen. And so one of the ramifications of that is the exacerbation to supply chain. So we are still in a position where people are very, very skittish about going to work. But then the other component of this is there are significant numbers of people in this country who refuse to mask up. There are significant numbers of people in this country who refuse to get vaccinated. And so because of the politicization of this public health crisis, this pandemic, there have been a number of deleterious ripple effects that are going to be with us, unfortunately, for the foreseeable future. So I think it's really important to have context to the supply chain issue, that it isn't just a function of people not feeling comfortable going back to work, but it's also because we did not do all that we could have done at the beginning when the World Health Organization told us that this was a pandemic 2 years ago.
You make an excellent point there, and I think particularly the thing about the vaccine, yes, I agree that there are significant numbers of people, particularly in the Black community, who still refuse to do it. And it makes the economics in our community that much more difficult, and the push-me-pull-you of the debate, which may appear to have quieted, but it really hasn't, to your point. Deborah, I did want to go back to something that we were talking about earlier, and this was about the use of electric cars. And I think one of the difficulties, even though we have seen over the past several months, you know, the Biden administration has been talking about the installation and the building of more charging stations. But I think the reality is, as expensive as they are up front, they can be, quite economically beneficial for the family that has one. But the thing about it is, for example, and this much I know about, for example, Tesla, if you don't have a garage, it's not really prudent to own one or any full electric vehicles, because you've got to have a place to plug it up.
Well, remember, there are two types, right? So there's hybrid
and yeah,
electric vehicles.
Right. I'm talking about just the full electric ones, for example.
Well, electric vehicles, what I would say is, overall, with the amount of new models that have just come to market from not only foreign car makers, Toyota now has a new product that they're coming out with that they teamed with Subaru. Ford's coming out with its new pickup truck. It's F-150. All of these cars are coming out with electric batteries. I don't know about you, but every parking garage I go to, there's a plug-in section that has preference in terms of if you've got an electric vehicle. So what I would say is that the more demand there is, the more more charging stations you will find. I do think that, for many people, it may be depending upon your situation, you have two options. If you have the option of a garage, then you could look at an electric vehicle. If you don't, then you could look at hybrid. I think the other thing that people need to understand about just the choices between hybrid and electric vehicles, and there's a great federal tax rebate that's still available if you buy an electric vehicle or a hybrid vehicle, but it has to have a plug-in. And to that end, the only models that are have that opportunity are the newer models that have come up. Like Tesla no longer qualifies for that federal tax break. In addition to that, many states have additional benefits, whether it's the local utility or the state itself that's giving you a tax credit. So my point being is that the difference between buying a non-hybrid or EV vehicle versus a traditional one with the combustion engine is that gap is narrowing. And in the long run, the cost of usage of that vehicle, it seems to be really, it has become time for electric vehicles. And I don't think that's a bad idea, specifically when you look at what fossil fuels and how climate change is impacting us. Point being, today it's 60 and tomorrow it's going to be snowing. I mean, what's up with that?
Yeah, I know, right? What's up with that? And don't forget to spring forward this weekend also, right. Because you've got, this is happening and it's been happening for a couple of years now, 2 weeks earlier in the spring and 2 weeks later in the early fall. Mm-hmm. But, Dr. Brown, do you see a point at which this is all going to, turn around? I mean, we've all had financial crises. I'm talking about, America has certainly seen, financial crises. We had the Great Recession. We had the mortgage crisis, and we've been having this conversation. We had this conversation with Deborah before, when things get ugly, then people pull back, and then when things calm down, then people forget. I mean, Americans seem to have really short memories about these kinds of things.
Well, some do have short memories, particularly those who tend to be more well-heeled.
Mm-hmm.
But for those who didn't even recover from the Great Recession, now, mind you, the Great Recession started December of 2007, so that's going on 15 years. There are disproportionate numbers of black people, brown people, and certainly poor people who never recovered.
Yeah.
And so they continue to be the most adversely affected, some within these communities. So when you look at, for example, the idea of migrating from, say, a gasoline-powered vehicle to an electric-powered vehicle, well, under normal circumstances, before this war started or was waged, the price of admission for an electric vehicle is significantly higher. So that automatically is going to exclude a significant number of the buying public. But because of supply chain issues, those vehicles, whether they are hybrid, gasoline, or electric, have increased sticker prices because of the supply issues. So now, no matter what new vehicle you purchase, or even a used vehicle, you're going to pay more for it. So for a family, again, who is struggling just to make ends meet, it's going to be difficult, if not impossible, for that family to make that kind of purchase decision. But to your earlier question, I think this is going to be protracted. And keep in mind now, typically, gas prices begin to creep up as we get closer to Memorial Day.
Mm-hmm.
So the average price of gas in the city now is $4.50, and this is just the second week of March. So if there is no significant infusion of resources from other parts of the world to make up the oil deficits that we're now experiencing, it isn't too far-fetched, I don't think, to consider that gas prices in the nation's capital may be well above $5.50 an hour. $5.50 a gallon, I should say.
Oh, my goodness. And I think, you know, at that point, I think we will begin to see roads emptying out as we did during the early months of the pandemic, although not to that extreme. But I think that people are just going to stop driving as much. You think so, Deborah?
Well, to be honest with you, living in the DMV,
maybe not.
I quite enjoy not having all of that traffic. And so the other point that I would make is this, is that, you know, it is unfortunate, but I think that what we're going to see again is people have to adapt. I do think that the fact that there are more remote jobs is in light of the fact that I don't know when this is going to end. I think it's just that if I were someone listening to us tonight, that what I would be thinking about is, okay, if gas prices are going up, what are my options? If I have to travel a lot, perhaps now it's time to look at, like the woman that called in, perhaps it's now time to look at other opportunities. And in fact, that has been the other silver lining in COVID is the fact that so many industries who were resistant to the technological advances, whether it be the medical field where, you know, so much had to be done in person, whether it was simple real estate transactions that should have been able to be done at DocuSign, but you had to go into a facility to do closing. I think the other side of that is that that train had already left the station in terms of companies being more open to roles that could be remote, and there was no reason for people to be in the office. And so if I were someone listening to me this evening, listening to us this evening, I would certainly be able to be looking at that as an option. And by the way, Harold, we do have an event going on tomorrow for just that, leveling up and looking out and seeking other opportunities looking for different opportunities for jobs, increasing your income. And so if anyone wants to know more about that, they can just visit our website at wealthyu.com.
I have one more point that I'd like Dr. Brown to touch on. And if you could, you know, kind of dig a little deep for me, Dr. Brown, considering where we are right now from an economics point of view and maybe a sociological point of view, who are the winners and losers right now?
Well, you know, the everyday American is certainly not a winner. The folks who are in the ivory towers may be celebrating a little bit, but for the average person, and especially for people who are dependent upon low-wage work, and by low-wage, I'm talking about jobs that pay $15 an hour or less, they are not afforded the opportunity to work remotely. Those options are not available to them. So when I think about the cadre of people that live in the nation's capital, my hometown, particularly those folk who live east of the river in Ward 7 and 8, they are the ones for whom times like these can be absolutely devastating, and in too many instances, situations from which they never recover. So I think we have to have conversations about those who are able to weather the storm financially, but we also have to make sure that we're talking about the least of those too, as we prepare ideas and strategies for policy and then solutions going forward.
Deborah Owens, Dr. Robert Brown, thank you both for talking to us. And thank you so much for your suggestions. And for those out there who are really kind of struggling through this, hang in there and do what you can to reduce your expenditures. Don't know how long it's going to last, but hopefully it will not last for long. That is The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Friday, March 11th. For news director Renee Nash, reporters Millette Green, Bramante Bryant, producer Candace Wilson, and engineer Iron Waller, I'm Harold Fisher. good night and have a wonderful weekend.